pleasure to be here today to discuss with you my practicing experience at the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland. I work with the Child and Adolescent Health and Development Department with the Newborn and Child Health Team. During this presentation, I'll discuss the goals and expectations that I had for my practicum while searching for a practicum, the scope of work that was proposed to me by the WHO upon my acceptance of an internship. This included performing background and literature review on the use of child growth references, conducting secondary analysis of cohort data to understand the implications of using the new WHO growth charts on malnutrition rates, and culminated in writing of a manuscript that will eventually be submitted to a peer-reviewed journal. I'll conclude my presentation by talking about the achievements of this practicum and its impact on my future career. So when I was searching for a practicum, I had several goals and expectations in mind. I was hoping to work internationally. I wanted to enhance my skills in epidemiology, statistics, and data analysis, some of which I had learned in my epidemiology classes at BU. I was hoping to learn about WHO as a large umbrella organization in the field of public health. I wanted to collaborate with experts in child growth and malnutrition, areas of my own interest. And I wanted to expand my network in international child health. I arrived at the WHO in June of this past summer to do a 3-month internship in child and adolescent health. Upon my arrival at the WHO, I had some experience in malnutrition from doing work abroad, but I did not have any background in growth monitoring. And so I spent the first few weeks of my internship familiarizing myself with growth monitoring and the strong association that it has with malnutrition rates. And I learned that precise estimates of malnutrition are critical to reducing child and infant morbidity and mortality. And a reference identifies how children should grow under optimal health conditions. Anthropometry, a critical part of growth monitoring, is a cost-effective, non-invasive, and powerful tool to classify malnutrition status through the use of certain indicators such as stunting, wasting, and underweight, which I'll discuss a little further in a few minutes. Most of my time was spent familiarizing myself with the National Center for Health Statistics, WHO Child Growth Reference, which I'll refer to as the NCHS reference, and the new WHO Child Growth Reference. The NCHS reference was developed in 1977, and has been used in about 2/3 of the world to monitor child growth. And it's based on a cross-section of the United States population of children. And most of these children are formula-fed and of European descent. And this reference was used internationally because there really, at the time, there really wasn't any other reference that could be used. However, the Multi-Growth Reference Study Group, the MGRS group, part of the World Health Organization, realized that this really wasn't an appropriate reference to measure child growth. So they started coming up with a new reference, which came out this past last year as a new WHO reference, which is even promoted as standard. And it is based on a population of children who have optimal health. So this includes optimal nutrition, living in an optimal environment, and having optimal primary health care. And so children are exclusively breastfed up to 6 months. Their parents are educated. They come from socioeconomic status, families that are moderate to high socioeconomic status so as not to have any illness or barriers to health. And so these new references, the WHO reference, is implemented in several places currently, but it is not implemented worldwide, which is the goal of the WHO. And before this can be done, studies need to be performed in order to test the implications of this new WHO growth chart in the actual real-world setting in order to advocate for their implementation. My task was to conduct a literature review to assess whether there had been any previous studies looking at the comparison between the two references and what their performance was in the real-world setting. And I found two such studies. One was performed by Dr. Deonis and colleagues, and they were members of the MGRS group. And they did a comparison of the World Health Organization child growth standards and the NCHS reference, looking at the implications for child health programs, and found that overall more children were diagnosed as malnourished with the WHO reference. Dr. Seal and Dr. Krak also did a study that was published this year looking at the operational implications of using the new growth charts in nutrition programs. And they looked at this mostly in the emergency setting, where they looked at children from 6 months to 59 months and found that the same thing as Dr. Deonis, where the prevalence of malnutrition is higher, especially in infancy, with the WHO reference. And so they found that more children would be diagnosed with malnutrition, therefore more children would need to be admitted to nutrition rehabilitation programs and feeding programs. However, the current capacity would not be able to sustain this higher diagnosis rate. So this was an important implication to address. So seeing these two studies, we saw that, you know, some research had been done looking at this comparison, but not a lot of research, and we could build on this research. So we looked at the prevalence of malnutrition in the first year of life using the two references in three additional settings, Ghana, India, and Peru. And this was based on data that had been collected for a previous study about 10 years ago, which I'll discuss as well. Then we addressed two remaining questions. One was to examine the rates of malnutrition at 6 months of age according to feeding pattern, exclusive, predominant, partial, and none. And the second was to explore the association between nutritional status and subsequent mortality, so how nutritional status predicts mortality. And we looked at this in two parts. We looked at nutritional status at 6 or 10 weeks as a predictor of mortality between 6 or 10 weeks and 6 months, as well as nutritional status at 6 months and how that predicts mortality between 6 and 12 months. This study was based on original data from a multi-center individually randomized double-blind controlled trial performed in January 1995 to June 1997. In 37 villages in the Kintampo district of Ghana, two urban slums in New Delhi, India, and a peri-urban shanty town in Lima, Peru. And 9,424 mother-infant pairs were enrolled. And anthropometric measurements of weight and length were taken for infants at their first immunization visit, because this original study was a vitamin A supplementation study linked with immunization. And so anthropometric measurements were taken at 6 weeks in Ghana and India, and 10 weeks in Peru, and this was just because of the different immunization schedules. Additional measurements were taken at 6, 9, and 12 months of age. Information on feeding was also collected in the original study. Infants were categorized into subgroups by feeding mode at 6, 10, 14, 18, and 22 weeks, and at each visit, mothers were asked about what they offered their child to eat and drink during the past week, and then after the mother's unprompted response, more specific questions were asked about feeding modes, such as did the mother herself breastfeed, did a wet nurse breastfeed, was the child offered animal milk, etc. Information on hospitalizations and deaths was also collected at 4 weekly follow-up visits from enrollment up to 1 year in all three sites. As I mentioned earlier, we used anthropometric indicators for the overall population by site to measure malnutrition, and these included weight for age, length for age, and weight for length, and represented stunting, wasting, and underweight. And the cutoffs were less than minus 2 standard deviations away from the mean, because these scores mean the number of standard deviations away from the mean that this child represents. And that was moderate to mild malnutrition. And less than minus 3 standard deviations from the mean was severe malnutrition. So when we looked at our results, we found that for the baseline, infants were enrolled at a mean age of 22 to 24 days and a mean weight of 3.2 to 3.9 kilograms. They were equally distributed by sex in all the sites, and almost all the infants were breastfed 48 hours prior to enrollment. We then looked at mean Z-scores, so how many standard deviations was this child away from the average? And we found that in the first half of infancy, in the first 6 months, the mean Z-scores were significantly lower for all three indicators with the WHO reference. But as the child grew older, the mean Z-scores for the two references became more similar. When we looked at prevalence of malnutrition, we saw a gradual increase during infancy with the WHO reference, which was very different from the sharp increase from 6 to 12 months with the NCHS reference. So this shows that basically the NCHS reference was underestimating malnutrition rates in the first 6 months. And the WHO reference shows that malnutrition is a problem all the way from 6 weeks or even earlier up through 1 year. You could see the drastic increase with the WHO reference. Stunting was twofold higher with the WHO reference at 6 or 10 weeks. Wasting was about 10 times higher. And then you see that the gap gets smaller as the child gets older. So we saw that there were such drastic increases with the WHO reference, but what if the child was exclusively breastfed? Would this be different? Would their malnutrition rate decrease versus a child who was not breastfed at all? So we looked at feeding pattern and nutritional status at 6 months of age and found that the prevalence of malnutrition was lowest in infants who were fed according to WHO UNICEF feeding recommendations of exclusive breastfeeding up to 6 months. This was similar in the three sites, but in India, even among exclusively breastfed infants, we still saw about 27% were stunted and underweight, and 10% were wasted by the WHO reference, and this is probably due to the large number of low birth weight infants in India. Finally, we wanted to look at the association between nutritional status and subsequent mortality, how it predicts mortality. So we first looked at nutritional status at 6 or 10 weeks, as a predictor of death between 6 or 10 weeks and 6 months, and found that India had the best predictor, severe underweight, with the WHO reference, best identified those infants that were going to die between 6 weeks and 6 months. Then when we looked at nutritional status at 6 months as a predictor of mortality between 6 and 12 months, we again found that in India, wasting, again with the WHO reference, best identified infants who would die between 6 and 12 months. Severe underweight with the WHO reference and underweight with the WHO reference were also good predictors of mortality. So as you can see, this analysis had several strengths. We used well-standardized anthropometric measurements of 5 time points during infancy. Our results confirmed the findings of the 2 previous studies that there was a higher prevalence of malnutrition with the WHO indicators in infancy. And it was the first study to examine the prevalence of malnutrition at 6 months of age according to infant feeding patterns and the functional performance of the 2 references as a predictor of infant mortality. There were several limitations to the study, but they didn't seem to significantly impact our results. We couldn't enroll, the original study did not enroll infants at birth, so we didn't know the birth weight or length. The follow-up rate fell from about 85% at 6 months to 63% at 12 months. And some of the weight for length, which represented wasting, these scores at 6 weeks could not be measured because some infants were just too small. Their length was too small to measure to use in the database. So we concluded 3 important points. First, that the use of the WHO reference highlights the importance of malnutrition in the first half of infancy. And so this shows that malnutrition is not just a problem at 6 months where complementary feeding is introduced and the child is slowly weaned, but it's actually a problem starting from birth going on to 2 months and beyond. And we were really encouraged to find that exclusive breastfeeding could be an effective intervention in reducing malnutrition. Even the difference between exclusive breastfeeding, which is just giving the child breast milk, and predominant breastfeeding, it was huge. And we found the advantage of using the WHO reference for selecting the most vulnerable infants. So if a child comes into the doctor to get his first immunization at 6 weeks, then the child is going to be weighed, and probably the length will be taken too, but weighing is easier in a lot of developing countries. And if the child is seen to be underweight, severely underweight, or wasted, that doctor is going to know that this child has a high risk of dying from now until 6 months, and is going to follow this child more frequently, is going to counsel the mother to breastfeed, and is going to give additional care. So this is really important in the actual setting where children are malnourished. This practicum was extremely fulfilling for me. It was really challenging and really rewarding. I learned a lot of new skills. I came in not knowing a lot of the skills that were needed for this practicum, except for the knowledge that I had from my classes. I was able to formulate research questions and come up with a research proposal. I performed data analysis and really learned to be passionate about data analysis, which I thought I could never be. and really working with my supervisor and learning on my own how to learn a new program. I overcame many challenges, some of the above ones, and just sticking out in a large organization and being persistent and motivated. I experienced great mentorship. I really, for the first time, I had a mentor whose skills and expertise I hope to have one day. I was able to write a manuscript with the help of my supervisor and to present my practicum to the team. And it was very great in defining the next steps in my professional career and by talking with people in the department and learning that I would really like to pursue international nutrition. So I'd like to thank Dr. Ball and Dr. Martinez, who I worked with at the WHO, and Dr. Jim Wolf and Scott Harris from BU. Thank you.